good to draw close to God. Draw near to Him is what the Bible says. And the Bible says He draws near to you. So we draw near to God with our thoughts, with our ideas, with our desires, with our prayers, with our worship. And we know that He draws near to us. You know, the good news is He never comes empty-handed. Did you ever notice, never think about that? He never shows up and says, oops, I forgot. No, He shows up with everything that He's promised. And it's up to us to receive. It's not a problem. God is not the problem. It's whether we're ready. Are we ready to receive? So you see, it pays to draw near to God. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Amen. Tell somebody close to you, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with a few people. Bless them. Let them know that you appreciate them being at Rhema Bible Church. It's great to be in the house of God. Great to be at Rhema Bible Church. Isn't that right? Welcome everybody online to Rhema Bible Church Sunday night service. We're glad to be here. I'll tell you what, I was extremely blessed by Pastor's message this morning, wasn't it? I'll tell you what, I told my wife, I think I'm going to have to go find someplace and just shout for joy. Just happy. Amen. Happy to be in a place where we believe for needs of the people to be met. We don't we don't have to look at you and say, well, we don't do that. Isn't that right? I remember years ago I was in a restaurant. I won't tell you what it was. If I mentioned it to you, you would know. And I had been in their competitor's store many times and liked it. And so, you know, some people were with me, and we said, let's go to this other store. I walked in, and I wanted a similar experience of what I was getting at the competitor's store. And I said, okay, I want it this way. And they said, well, we don't have that. And so, okay, I'll go with what you got. And I said, I want it this way. They said, we don't do it that. We don't do that. And I said, well, I didn't tell them this. I just thought to myself, well, this is probably the first and last time that I'll come here then. I want you to know something. It's valuable to be in the place where you know that spiritual care is, and where there, you can come and have the prayer of faith prayed. I remember growing up, for all my growing up years, I had no clue what the spirit of faith was. I had no clue what the prayer of faith was. I didn't even know what faith was. I might have been able to spell it, but I didn't know what it was. And so we are glad to be in the house of God tonight. And so Pastor mentioned that he's going to be sharing along some of those lines a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. And so looking forward to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question tonight as we begin. This is a new year. And, you know, typically we have our hopes up. You know, new year, new opportunities. You know, maybe this year I will experience more. I'm ready for more. I think I'm ready for more. But how many of you would be happy if you were informed that you are not going to get any more this year than you did last year? You would be unhappy. You would be unhappy. How many of you would just jump up and shout for joy if you heard that kind of news? Most of us wouldn't. You know, because you know that the Bible says it this way, that the end is greater than the beginning. That means we should be progressing. There's a progression that we should be moving towards the greater. And so however good it's been, we ought to believe that it ought to be greater in the future. Isn't that correct? I want to share a couple of things with you tonight. And I've simply, I've got a really fancy title tonight. It's real catchy. So I'm going to tell it to you so you can write it down. It's called Prosperity. Prosperity. Everybody say prosperity. Prosperity. Say it one more time. Prosperity. Prosperity. Now some of you are not saying it like, well, you're real sure about it. And that's why I'm preaching on that tonight, is that we need to understand the full every aspect of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly would not say that prosperity is the only aspect of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is an aspect. In that Jesus became poor that we might become rich or well supplied or have more than enough or have life more abundantly. Isn't that correct? Can I get an amen? My goal to end this, and I'm not going to be able to finish tonight because I've got, I don't know how many pages of notes on this, but we'll unhook and we'll pick it back up as the Lord would direct us in the future. But my goal tonight is simply lay a foundation for you and I to have a greater faith to obtain finances in the coming year. How many of you know that you have to do certain things to get certain things? Now, I know that there's a certain school of thought out there that doesn't embrace that, but I just want you to know, I'm going to teach you what the Bible says. I want you to listen to, I'm going to give you a number of scriptures tonight, and if you're serious about stepping up into more, I would encourage you to write the references down and make sure you start building a foundation. You say, well, I've already got that. Listen, I've already got it too, but I do it again and again. I go over it. Isn't that right? Why? Because I want to build up my foundation, because God is expecting us to believe for more for several reasons. I'll tell you why tonight. And along with tonight's message, I would like to tell you this, that there's a number of resources in the bookstore. I just took time to go out there, and there's a little mini book that Pastor Brother Hagin has, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. I believe everybody ought to get read that. Then there's another little book he's got called Godliness is Profitable. How many of you, I've had people come into my office and say, you know, I've had it better when I was a sinner. And I just want to tell you, they didn't know what the word says. Here's another one, obedience and finances. Okay? And then biblical keys to financial prosperity. Biblical keys to financial prosperity. Great book. We ought to be endeavoring to use these to help us build the foundation, build on the foundation so that we can walk in more. Here's a book by Brother Hagin called The Midas Touch. And so we need to recognize that that has some valuable insights. Here's Pastor Hagin's book on overflow, living above life's limits. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember a time in my life when overflow wasn't a part of it. I was in the underflow, whatever that was. I mean, I just would have liked to have been someplace where something was flowing. I might not have even been in the flow. There certainly didn't seem to be much prosperity coming my way. And then this series by Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, on mountain moving faith. There's a CD in there specific on faith by saying for finances. And I'm going to encourage you to get those. Go out to the bookstore and get those. And not just take my word for what's being shared tonight, but look into the Word of God. Look into these tools. Prepare yourself for more. Enlarge your capacity to believe for more. You say, well, I got a good job. Well, great. I got a great job too. But I want to tell you something. I never trust my job for my finances. I'm always believing God. No matter what you have as far as avenues of income, you ought to always be trusting God. Amen? I can remember, I suppose might be a little bit more important for me than it is for some people. I grew up, we barely had enough. We were considered poor in the community. I resented that as a kid. You know, we didn't have a bathroom. We had a path. We did have running water. Whenever somebody needed water, we sent one of us boys ran and got it for them out at the pump. We did have a central heat. We had the wood stove in the center of the house. And you could just dial whatever temperature you wanted by however close you sat to the stove or however far away. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe it bothered me more than it did some people, but I would look at the things that some people had, and I'm wondering how in the world did they make enough money to get that? I don't know if any of you've ever been there, but you know, I grew up with wanting to be rich. I grew up wanting to be well off, but I found myself living paycheck to paycheck and hand to mouth, so to speak. And even after we got saved and spirit filled, you know, things weren't that great as far as prosperity. We believed the prosperity message, but somehow we didn't seem to be able to get it to work very well in the beginning. But you know, we stayed with it, and I can't tell you that we won a lottery or we had a huge inheritance or anything like that. But I will tell you this: we discovered that there was a heavenly Father that desired to give us what He had promised in His Word. And that if you use your faith and know the principles of faith, you can obtain the finances that you need. And you say, well, Brother Yoder, I don't know if that's really appropriate to be talking about money in the church. I grew up in a church like that, where they didn't talk about money and they didn't take offerings. And the only time that there was any kind of money given was twice a year at communion. They had almsgiving, and people would slip a little something to the deacon. And I always wondered how the deacon, nobody held the deacon accountable. I mean, you know, I don't know if he had a, I always wondered if he had a handling fee on that, but I never bothered to ask. But you know, we didn't know. I was taught that money is the root of all evil. I was taught that being spiritual and being prosperous were incompatible with each other. You couldn't be both. And it was. If somebody was getting a little too prosperous, they were labeled as chasing the almighty dollar. And, you know, just shook their head. They're just chasing the almighty dollar. It was indicating they're not walking close to God. Their soul's in danger. Well, you know, after a while, you hear that long enough, you kind of get that in your thinking. And so one of the things that challenged me was reading the promise of God, but I still had the old thoughts of what I had been taught. And so one of the things that had to happen is that we had to get rid of a lot of wrong thinking and replace it with right thinking. And it took us a while to get to that place of understanding some of these principles. Now, maybe I'm just a slow learner. I don't know. Maybe you catch on a whole lot faster. I certainly hope so, because I wouldn't want anybody to endeavor to get something to work and take as long as I did. But then I'm not in too bad a company, because you know, Abraham, well, God spoke to him when he's 75 years old that he was going to have a son, and it wasn't until he was 99 that he really believed it. Because at 99, God spoke to him and said, at the right time, you're going to have a son. And he laughed and he said, oh, is my wife going to, in her old age, going to have a son? He laughed at 99 in disbelief. In less than a year after he started really believing, things changed. Now, I know some people have gotten the 25-year faith, you know, where, well, you know, Abraham, he believed for 25. No, he didn't believe for 25 years. He learned how to believe in those 25 years. He learned. Everybody say, he learned. And he wasn't just totally perfectly believing in 25 years and God was slow to fulfill his promise. No, he's quick to fulfill his promise when the conditions are met. Isn't that right? And so turn with me to 3 John 2, only one chapter there. When I read this verse and started getting the revelation of it, and God began to teach me about this verse right here, I'll tell you, the things went off on the inside of me. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this is really, it sounded too good to be true. I remember when I first heard the faith message, I thought, wow, this is really something. I'm gonna learn how to get more, because I really believe that God wants us to have more. Amen? And so we have to realize then that God wants us to look into His Word. If we're going to have prosperity, then we ought to have it His way. He ought to get the credit. Isn't that right? I mean, in the church where we grew up, there were people that were well off, but they would never give God the credit for it, because that would be too spiritual, and they're prosperous and they're spiritual, and it doesn't go together. And so they would always, well, you know, we worked hard. Well, praise God you worked hard, but you ought to give the credit to God. Amen. Here's what it says. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And so if we're going to walk in God's will for prosperity, and that word prosperity is a Greek word, E-U-D-O-O, you do, is the way I look at it. It may be pronounced differently. I don't know the correct pronunciation, but I know that it has to do with doing well on a journey. God wants you to do well on a journey. How many of you are on a journey? You're not just camped someplace. You're on a journey. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. And so we have to realize then that God wants us to do well on our journey. Part of that is financially well, along with doing well in all the other areas. And so God wants us to get that idea down in us. God wants us to do well. Say it with me. God wants me to do well. God wants me to do well. God wants me to do well. Amen? Now, there's reasons for it, and we'll get to it here in just a little bit. But I want you to realize something here. There is a condition to the prosperity and the health that he's talking about here. He said, even as your soul prospers. And so if you look at it, you'll find out that your soul, really, as Brother Hagin taught us well and pointed out, and then you look at it yourself and you'll find out it's true, that your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you realize then that God wants me to do well in my mind. God wants me to do well in my emotions. God wants me to do well in my will. He wants my thoughts directed toward Him. He wants my emotions controlled so I can walk in what He says. He wants my will to be conformed to His will. And so I began to study that a little bit, and then I saw something there, and so I called a friend of mine who had a degree in mathematics and was rather intimidating sometimes just to talk with somebody like that, because, you know, math was not the highest scoring class that I had. But I did ask him this. I said, read this verse, see if there's an equation here from your perspective. And he said that he read it, and he said, there's absolutely an equation here. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as. King James says, even as. Not more than, not less than. And I began to see that a lot of me walking in the plan of God, the prosperity of God, is determined by the condition of my soul. I need to change my thinking. I need to think the way that God's Word says. If God said it, then I want to believe that. I want to get that into. I want to get that down in me. I want to get that a part of my thinking. And then when situations and circumstances come up, financial circumstances come up, we want to be able to control our emotions so that we don't jump ship and do something else other than what God says to do. How many of you have seen somebody do that? And then, you know, sometimes it's easier to just bail out and go do something else rather than sit still, believe God, and learn how to follow God. Sometimes all other ways look easier. How many of you know that? And so sometimes it's, you just got to pray the prayer of consecration, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that right? And you got to pray it often, however many times a day that you need to pray it. Why? Because you want your will to be conformed to God's will, to do it God's way. Why? Because you want what God promised in His Word. If I'm going to get what God promised in His Word, I'm going to have to do it the way God said to do it. Isn't that right? If He promised me something in the book, I got to do what's in the book. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on now. I know that sometimes we get this idea that somehow God's going to drop something on us, and we just think some people, and I fell into this trap, some people are just naturally have a natural aptitude to more towards finances than others do, and I'm just not one of them. And I used to go around saying people in my family just didn't understand money. It's hard to understand money. When it comes to it, it's just like I'm in a fog. I just don't understand. And you know what? I had to get over that. And I'm saying, oh, no. Maybe in the natural that might have been, but I'm in the family of God now. And I can think the thoughts of God just as easy as another person if I get into the book. If I get into the Bible. And so I began to find out that the hard can't get around fact. You understand what I mean? You can't get around it. Is this, that whatever financial prosperity I was walking in at the time represented the condition of my soul, represented my thinking, represented my emotional state. It represented how well my will was conformed to His. But you know, the good news was I found out that my boss wasn't my biggest problem. My neighbor wasn't my biggest problem. My family wasn't my biggest problem. My biggest problem was right here between my two ears where I could reach it and do something about it. That's the good news. The solution that you and I are looking for and walking in the prosperity that God has for us is within reach. You can change your thinking. I know that you're going to have to do it, go at it many times. You're going to have to learn to look into the Word of God often. You're going to have to remind yourself of the truth of God's Word. And then when something comes up, you're going to have to determine to embrace the opportunity rather than say, oh God, oh no, oh no God, I thought I was believing and here we got this problem. No, you got to understand that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for God's promise to come to pass in your life if you'll believe what He said. Isn't that right? Come on now. Can I get more people to give me an amen? See, I grew up poor. And I was poor. You know how come I was poor? It wasn't because of a lack of money. Poor is not defined by a lack of money. Poor is defined by the way you think and the way you live. I had poor way of living. I thought poor. I talked poor. I believed poor. And every time I saw somebody with something, there was a thought that would come to my head. Yeah, well, I'm looking at it. It's probably closest I'll ever get to it. See, I had to overcome that. How did I overcome that? I had to get in the Word. It's not a big secret. You got to get in the Word. You got to change the way you think. Because the way you change, if you change your thinking, you change your believing. If you change your believing, you change your speaking. And that's when something starts to happen. Come on now. I know sometimes we say, now that somebody says something that's not the Word, and we say, okay, that's not the Word, but their confession is not the problem. It goes further back than that. It may be that what they said was a result of their believing, but really their believing is really not all that much of the problem either. You got to go further back than that. They may have had wrong information in that they believed. In other words, they've got to change their thinking. Amen. Say it with me if you would. Change your thinking. Change your believing. Change your speaking. And then something happens. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you four New Testament reasons why you ought to, God wants you to prosper. Four. I want you to know that God wants you to prosper, but there's reasons for it. Are you ready for this? These are all New Testament. These are in the times that we're living. None of these are in the Gospels. So you can't accuse me. These are all reasons that were after Jesus died and rose again on the cross. Number one is so that you can provide for your family. So that you can, God thinks that's a spiritual, that is important to God, that you are able to provide for your family. First Timothy chapter 5 verse 8, I'm not going to read that, but I'm just going to let you give you the reference and you can have that. But that is important to God. It ought to be important to us to be able to provide for our family. Number two is to give to the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6 through 10 will tell you that. So that we can give to the work of the Lord. Number three is to help people who are in need. To help people who are in need. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 and 45 gives us the example of the church in the beginning that would help people that were in need. I'm not advocating that we ought to have all things in common and then live communal style and that type of thing, but there is an aspect there of where the early church was willing to help one another, those that were in need. And they did it as the Lord would lead them. Okay? Now the fourth one, you might not have thought of, but it's in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says that he has given us richly all things to enjoy. Now I want to tell you something. Now this will separate your religious thoughts from your biblical thoughts. And that is this, number four reason why God wants you to prosper is for you to enjoy life. Come on now. So here we go. To provide for your family, to give to the work of the Lord, to help those in need, to enjoy life. Those are why four New Testament reasons why God wants you to prosper. Amen? I'll tell you the truth about it. Some of you are, how many of you would have, you don't have to vote, but just, here's a thought. How many of you, would have had thought to yourself, I'd like to go on those missions trips, but I don't have the money. Now get quiet on me. But I want you to know something. I've been there. And it's not a great feeling to not be able to do what's in your heart. How many of you have seen somebody in need and you didn't have what it takes to help them? But you wished you did have it. Isn't that right? And there may be some here today. There have been times when you wanted to provide for your family, but you didn't have the money. You wanted to get them what they needed or desired, but you didn't have the money. I can tell you that's not a good feeling either. Where do we start? We start by building a financial foundation, scriptural financial foundation. I'm going to read some scriptures in the rest of the time that I have, just mostly scriptures. And I want you to consider after the service, if you're serious about being a greater blessing, being greatly blessed in this year, get the tools necessary. Get your Bible. Start looking at these things. Keep them in front of you because God is trying to get you ready for more. Don't despise somebody who's on their way and has got money and so forth, and they're blessed, and they walk in, and you think, you can identify when you're not there. You say, well, they act like they got the world by the tail. You see, that's the kind of thinking that people have who are not ready to embrace the prosperity that God has promised them because they resent what the other person has. So you and I need to get past that point, don't we? If we're there, then we need to get past it. I'll say it that way. I'm not saying everybody's there. Genesis 13. Genesis 13, 2 through 6. I'm going to read this. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. This is very significant because we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And it says, and he went his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. How would you like that problem? You got so much that you got to find more room. Well, Abraham went through that. Let's go to Isaac, Genesis 26 and verse 13. Now, here's a very interesting verse, something that you and I need to get a hold of. Here's what it said about Isaac. He said, the man, and he's talking about Isaac, began to prosper, continued to prosper, prospering until he became very prosperous. Say it with me. He began to prosper. He continued to prosper until he was very prosperous. We ought to read that again. He began to prosper and he continued to prospering until he was very prosperous. God doesn't mind you becoming very prosperous when you are committed to him and do what he has to say. Let's go on. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, beginning in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all blessing shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offsprings of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And on we could read. Go on to Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Let's go on reading. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. He says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much. Everybody say twice as much. As he had before. And then verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. That's a lot of livestock. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Let me just tell you something. God's prosperity doesn't necessarily come the way that the world operates. It comes according to his direction. If I can find his direction, then I can find the way he wants me to prosper. Because you see, you need to know I need to know the path that each one of us needs to take, that he wants for us. I can't go necessarily just go the same path that you do, do the same thing, be on the same job is what I mean. You know, well, he invested in stocks. Well, you know, that's really not for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So you got to find out the way that the Lord wants you to prosper. And that's why you got to, that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of you know that you got to find out what godly counsel is, the way that God would tell you to go? Amen? All right, let's go on a little bit further. It says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, the Lord, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Isaiah 48:15. I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and his way will prosper. Verse 17 of that same chapter. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let's stand up. We're out of time tonight, but I want to tell you tonight, I'm just laying a foundation. We're going to unhook here and pick up next time. I got some exciting things to let you know. How many of you know? I'll just give you a little glimpse of the next session, Lord willing, and that is, how many of you know in the New Testament, God has promised you all things? We'll find out. Okay? But let's just do this. How many of you tonight, just in listening to this, you would say, I'm going to lay a foundation for more for this year. I'm going to increase my capacity to believe. I'm going to take the scriptures and I'm going to look at them. I'm going to look at them over more than once. I'm going to look at them at least once a month or once a week or whatever it is. I'm going to look at them because I'm going to increase my ability to believe. I want to be a bigger blessing. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and let's thank God right now. Father, we thank you that you're doing a good work. We thank you that you're helping these people to prosper, bringing them along, helping them to begin to prosper and continue to prosper until they're very prosperous. Father, we thank you for showing these people that so that they can be a better blessing, provide for their family, so they can help those in need and enjoy life. We thank you for it. We praise you, Father, that you'll help them, guide them. Holy Spirit, you are the one that knows how to cause them to profit. You are the master teacher. And so I thank you for teaching each one individually, becoming their tutor in this, their guide, their financial advisor in this, leading them not only yourself, but to others who are wise in financial decisions, so that in the multitude of counsel that they can have safety and they can have increase in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited about the coming year? Praise the Lord. Ready for more? Amen. Hallelujah. Last year, 2014, was a great year for us, but I'm predicting it's not as great as this year, because that's in front of us, and the end of a thing is greater than the beginning. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you are here tonight, Connection Team, if you would simply slip out and connect with those new people that are here tonight, here for the very first time, and help them to go to that place where they have that special gift for you. And if you'll do that, we would appreciate that very much. And so go ahead, connection team, and do that. And then we have the altar care people coming forward, and they're going to pray with you. If you have specific needs that you need prayer for, these people will help you get the answer that you need. They will pray the prayer of faith. This is part of the full service that Pastor was talking about this morning. Praise the Lord. And so we're ready to help you if you need prayer along these lines. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the connection team is doing, connecting with those and getting those people. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that you're in the kingdom of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to be in the greatest organization in the face of the earth called the church? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad that you are here tonight. If you are here tonight and you need salvation, you need healing, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need a prayer to have some needs met, or whatever it might be, these people are right here. Just make your way down and to these people, and they will pray with you. Those of you that are online, we thank you for tuning in. We pray that you have a prosperous year. We encourage you to lay a foundation just like these people here. Get these tools, get your scriptures, look at them over and over again, feed yourself, delight yourself in them, and watch God do a great work in you. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody, bless somebody, let them know that you appreciate them being here tonight. God bless you, and we will see you Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 p.m. God bless you.